Welcome to the HMO Success Podcast. I'm your host, Wendy Whitaker-Large, and I'm here to help you create a profitable HMO portfolio. Whether you're a brand new investor or you've been at it for a number of years, my podcast is here to help you make the most from your business, whether that is starting up, scaling, or systemizing. Please hit the subscribe button to make sure you never miss an episode. And if you've got an awe-inspiring project, an inspirational investing story, or a unique approach to HMOs, I'd love to hear from you. Hello, everybody. Really, really great to welcome you to the HMO Success Podcast. Today, I'm excited to have a very interesting guest on the podcast who I only met a few months ago, but has already made quite an impact in various different ways on my life. And I'd like to introduce you to him now. He's called Neil Chadder. Hello, Neil.
Hi, Wendy.
Great to have you here today. Really, really appreciate you joining me, Neil. Now, Neil is an HMO investor, but he's got quite an interesting background, and he's actually been developing a very, very useful tool for those of us who are investing currently in HMOs. But I'm going to let him tell you a little bit more about himself. So, Neil, perhaps you could just start by giving us all a little bit of a kind of resume of what you were doing before you started investing in HMOs. What's your background?
Oh, gosh. So going right back, obviously went to university and graduated with chemistry, and didn't really find much use for that, unfortunately. So I went into a role in political polling, so political market research in Westminster. And then from there, I went into market research roles. But in about 2013 or 2012, I really, really wanted to get into property. I really wanted to start my own business and kind of be in control of my own finances and destiny. Not that I had a particularly bad time in those jobs. It's just something I really wanted to do. I wanted to kind of spread my entrepreneurial wings. And the HMO group, or the HMO route of profit and cash flow, was really attractive to me. There was something about it that I just loved. And we started building out house shares for people, young professionals, but they didn't necessarily want to share everything. So very highly specialized house shares, rather than kind of just putting a bedroom into the living room. We wanted to create a product that the tenants like me wanted to live in, that couldn't necessarily afford a kind of self-contained flat with all the facilities internally, but wanted the benefits of all the financial benefits of shared accommodation, but without the expense of having to rent a one-bedroom flat, which is typically priced for two people, if that makes sense. So, so we started building out these kind of specialized bed sits for young professionals. And we've been doing that ever since, really.
And Neil, so when you say we, you sound like you've got a team of people, or you may have another a business partner. Who's the we behind the business?
Oh, yeah. So I guess when I started when I was 26 or 25, I think. So, you know, there was a lot of reliance on friends and family. I've never really got out of friends and family zone. We've always been quite keen to kind of come together and build these things out with one another. So it's essentially been just people in my friendship group that have seen what I've been doing and saying, okay, great, that'd be something I'd like to contribute to or get involved in. And I've been doing that ever since. And we've got to about 50 units that we owned ourselves that's in the portfolio that I own myself, and then we have a further kind of 100 units that we manage together with other investors and things like that across West London. So that's mainly where we've been investing. So across from, if you can think of Maidenhead, I don't know how well you know all your or listeners will know London that well, but there's Maidenhead, which is obviously not in London, but quite far west of London, but right from there, right through to kind of central London, where along the M4 corridor, where we've kind of picked up little projects or larger projects and worked on them. And that's kind of been where I've been focusing the last decade.
Yes, amazing. Amazing stuff. Well, that's absolutely great. You've obviously built up quite a sizable portfolio now, and obviously lots of management experience, and you've seen the pain and the problems of dealing with HMOs on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, exactly that. It's one of those, I think most HMO managers, HMO landlords, HMO operators will know the pain of effectively having to answer calls late at night when they're from your tenants, right? I mean, you can't really escape it. I mean, it's you're sitting down with your family or you're on holiday, and then you see one of your tenants ring, and they're not calling you to ask how your day is, or wonder about your
or to pay their rent up front or anything like that. It's something that would be nice.
You see your tenants calling you on Christmas Day, and it's not to wish you Merry Christmas. It's to tell you that the boiler's gone or something's gone wrong, and your heart sinks because you're going to have to deal with it, right? And it doesn't matter how much you get told to say, put it on the back burner, it can wait till Monday. It still takes up your headspace. You can't really relax until that. And if you're as proactive as most HMO managers are and HMO operators, you kind of just want to deal with it, get it off your plate before Monday. So you've got this WhatsApp burning a hole in your pocket that you didn't really need to read. You didn't really need to take action on, but you're probably going to, because that's the way that we are. We're gonna do it. So in 2020, when the pandemic hit, and things were, there were problems. There was so much uncertainty going on, and things were really kind of worrying for so many people. I kind of sat down and I thought about what, if in an ideal world, what would I need in order to help me run the business, for me to get to the point where, I can kind of step away or I can potentially expand into other projects. And I searched and searched and looked at different options, and I looked at different property management pieces of software. We looked at hiring VAs to kind of help things out. We looked at hiring people on the ground to sort things out for us. But we were in this odd position where we just didn't have enough scale to warrant permanent staff without taking a massive hit on cash flow. And we couldn't realistically trust virtual assistants that were even UK based or even abroad, because we weren't really able to guarantee that they were going to be around, really, if that makes sense. They kept kind of leaving, or the system didn't quite work. So what we wanted to build was this virtual assistant platform, so where someone would take control of training the virtual assistants and take control of being able to be responsible for them and all the admin. And we could kind of plug into that system on a piecemeal basis as and when we needed it. And that was really important to us. It was the idea that we could not necessarily have need full-time staff, but when we needed to relax, when we needed to go on holiday, when we needed to kind of have some time off, we had someone there that could back us up, and someone there to pick up the slack that was qualified, that knew the properties, and that wasn't going to cost us an arm and a leg, or kind of suck us into a 12-month contract or a 24-month contract. So we needed that virtual property assistance to kind of help us expand, really, to the point where we could hire full-time staff. And that's where the idea of Nevo kind of sprung up from. And we were looking around, like, how can Virgin, Virgin Broadband have 24-hour call assistants, and British Gas can have 24-hour call assistants, but, people like us, HMO operators, can't get that. There's no way of providing that service without it costing an arm and a leg. So we started looking at the tech behind it. We started investigating conversational AI. We started investigating cloud contact centers. And it suddenly sprung to us that this is possible. This isn't something this isn't something in the future. People are doing this today, where they're putting together the tech in order to give a 24-hour service to their customers, and it doesn't cost an arm and a leg. So this is what we really wanted to achieve with Nevo, is to provide a 24-hour contact center, 24-hour point of contact for our tenants, but as acting as a buffer between us and the tenant. Does that make sense, Wendy? So the idea that
it's fantastic. I love the fact that, you know, it's born out of your own experience of, you like you say, having call outs on Christmas Day, or just being phoned up by a tenant on Christmas Day, or when you're on holiday. And I think you're absolutely right. Like so many HMO operators, you start off by having this idea of financial and time freedom. Your financial freedom does happen, but unfortunately your time freedom seems to get squashed. And without the right systems in place and the right people, it's very, very easy to suddenly find that your time is spent managing all your HMOs. And the other problem, as you mentioned, is the fact that actually, if you're going to pay somebody to do that, you take a big hit on your cash flow. And that's the reason why many people can't scale. They stop because they can't scale up, even though they're probably really good HMO operators. So that's a really good context, I think. It's a fantastic story of kind of real pain to birth this new concept of Nevo Living. And this is your new business to a certain degree, isn't it? You've still got your HMO portfolio, but Nevo Living is what you're launching to help people who, like yourself, are in that position of, you know, having the money but not having the time. And actually, if we don't have time freedom, you know, there's, what's the point of being financially free?
I was just going to say, who wants to be on call 24 hours a day? You know, we didn't get into this business to be taking every single call that comes our way. You know, it's just it's real frustration.
So if you could sort of sum up in a short phrase the problem that Nevo solves, how would you describe it?
Yeah, so it's pretty simple. The idea is, and the problem we're trying to solve is that we need, the problem is that tenants need to have a buffer between them and the operator or the landlord. There needs to be someone to kind of pick up the calls and pick up and triage those on behalf of the tenant for the operator. The problem is, and the emotion that a lot of operators feel is the one that you described earlier, just never being on off call, just always being available to tenants. And it's frustrating to everybody that I speak to that is in the HMO world. They have great cash flow, the property is going well, everything's appreciating, but they can never 100% relax. You know, they're on holiday and there's no one really to pick up the slack. And as you say, there are soft systems you can put in place. There's software that's available, and that's really great. But there isn't really going to be anyone to pick up the phone for you at 4 o'clock in the morning, unless you're hiring, you know, full time staff to do that, or you're, hiring a proper agency which is going to take quite a lot of a chunk out of your gross rent. That's the problem we're trying to solve. So being able to pick up your calls on your behalf and your messages on your behalf at 4 o'clock in the morning or whenever you're on holiday, and make sure you're only disturbed in the event of an actual emergency, not just piecemeal, not because someone's, you know, nicked someone's milk out of the fridge, that can wait till Monday, not because, you know, someone's been loud on a Saturday night, that can wait till Monday. You know, you're only being disturbed if the roof caves in or there's been a window smashed or a robbery, and those that are on fire, you know, those are the things that you need to be informed about when they happen. But apart from that, everything else can wait till Monday, and that's what we're going to be here to triage and make sure that you're in.
Perfect. So can you give me a kind of a description of how Nevo works, please?
Yeah, sure. So Nevo is, so we've combined effectively the technology behind Amazon Lex or Alexa, the voice command control from Amazon, with a cloud contact center that massive companies use. So these companies like, as I say, Virgin Broadband or British Gas, these customer experience call centers. And we've combined those two technologies that pre-exist and tried to effectively make them available to every daily or smaller operators like myself. That was one of the hardest tasks to do. That is the hardest task to do, is be able to do this at scale, be able to triage WhatsApps, triage SMSs, triage voice calls as they come in, and text and SMSs and Facebook messages to come into this one unified platform and be initially triaged by conversational AI. But if it doesn't, if it can't be, or if, you know, this conversational AI isn't can't be picked up by our bots, then a live property manager that's been properly trained, picking up those calls on all those messages on your behalf in order to escalate them to you if necessary. So it was all these kind of pre-existing pieces of tech that were out there, that were kind of floating around, that were only really accessed to or available to the largest of property managers. We wanted to make sure actually the people that need that tech are people like us, like people that are relatively small, that can't afford to, you know, have a 15 developers and a whole customer team. But that tech is so useful. What they call it is micro enterprise tools. So we wanted to build out enterprise tools, but only for the use of people at our level, the people that kind of are the 10, 15, 20, 30 room level, which desperately need it, really.
So that's really interesting. And I think you're absolutely right. You're tapping into that kind of almost micro market. There's a lot of people who have that. You know, a lot of people have maybe a handful of HMOs plus some single buy-to-lets and maybe a couple of commercial properties. HMOs is not their sole business, and therefore they might only have a few of them. But those HMOs, while they're generative of cash flow, they're also generative of a high volume of inquiries, comments, suggestions, of course, all positive, all lovely feedback that they probably receive from their tenants. We know that, you know, they're delightful most of the time. So your product allows a tenant to contact the landlord via Nevo. So therefore the route by which their kind of messaging goes through is via Nevo. So obviously there's a technical element here whereby the triage is occurring, and the landlord will only be contacted in the event of a true emergency, rather than, you know, just as you say, some feedback that the tenant might want to give to the landlord very helpfully on the running of their HMO or the other residents in the building. What about, though, during the day, let's say, when the landlord is happy to receive calls or is happy to receive communication? Would you still suggest that you almost train the tenants to use Nevo as that platform? But is there a way of kind of switching it on and switching it off? So, because if the landlord said, well, actually, I'm happy to be contacted between 9 and 5, but I just don't want to be contacted out of those hours. How would that scenario work?
I think it's. The way that we've planned it is that landlords would be able to use us as the buffer 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There is the option, but we wanted that granularity, Wendy. You're completely right. We wanted that granularity of being able to say, actually, you know what? I can handle this myself at the moment. I don't need Nevo, but but you know, on the weekend I do, or out of hours I do need you. So we do plan for that ability to switch it on and off. Now, do I suggest that landlords should give out their personal numbers to tenants? I've done it, and it sometimes would circumnavigate or circumvent the whole process of being able to be a buffer. I'd suggest having a separate phone. But if the way that we're building it is that it's so affordable and so cheap that we wanted to make it available at maybe £1 a room for tenants or operators, that buffer is just, it's worth having it on all the time. Do you know what I mean? It's worth just leaving it there. The way that we wanted the pricing, the technology to work was almost like it's a no-brainer to just have this as our buffer. Not only
okay, so let me put a scenario to you, Neil. So let's say somebody who's advertising a room for rent at the moment, mm-hmm. on their advert, what contact details would they put on that advert?
Yes. Our number, effectively. So the number that we put on our advert, when we're advertising your room, effectively, we'll have a above number. Now, that from a tenant perspective, there's no change to the experience, right? They're an applicant, they and then they will ask a question that is probably already answered in the advert, that's already in the advert available. But I guess the difference here is that because instead of the messaging or the communications going through to you directly, they actually come through to our call center. So using that same mobile phone number, or the same mobile phone number that the tenant is familiar with, the communications are then that those WhatsApps, those SMSs, those voice calls come through to our call center. We pick it up. We answer the calls for you. We qualify the criteria. We make sure that they're to your standards. Then we book them in. You know, you've pre-selected in through the platform. And the idea is that, you know, landlords and operators shouldn't be spending hours answering the same questions from applicants over and over again. They shouldn't need to, because if you think about it, it does about the type of tenants that we cater to. They're expecting this instantaneous response from people now, right? Whether it's through Deliveroo or through Uber or whatever they're used to, they're expecting this. They're expecting a kind of instantaneous response. And if you wait 3 days to reply back to, which I have been guilty of, because sometimes I just get overwhelmed with spare room messages or Gumtree messages or Facebook Marketplace messages. If you're waiting 3 days to respond, you're not going to get the most premium tenants at that point. You know, you have to be able to respond to people fast. You have to be able to qualify them and then book them into a viewing. And those calls can typically come, they typically come in out of hours. So I don't, Wendy, I don't know what your experience is, but when I have a room for rent and they're not typically replying to spare room during 9 to 5, they're sitting down with a glass of wine in the evenings, replying to about 150 adverts all at the same time. And by the time you've got round to their advert replying back to them, they've forgotten about who you are. They don't know which advert you're replying to or what you're referring to. Then you have to go through a whole load of phone tag in order to get them to remember which advert they've inquired about, and then book in a time and qualify them. It's just a whole mess. It's a whole mess that you have to deal with as an operator.
It all sounds really exciting, Neil, and I love the fact that you've kind of piggybacked onto AI tech, because I think that's going to be massive in the next 5 years when it comes to property. I think we're going to be using a lot more AI to automate our businesses, to grow our businesses, to help us to manage the day-to-day interaction with people. And ultimately, it's to try and enable faster communication and more efficient communication, but also better business. And I know that Nevo is geared towards helping landlords actually increase their profit and increase their efficiency, which is what we all want. What's the interface that the tenant and the landlord would be utilizing to be able to have that communication?
It's a good question, actually. It's really important that we kept the interface the same as what they used to, because most of my tenants, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners' tenants, would be interacting using WhatsApp or SMS or voice calls, right? That's pretty much the go-to avenues of channels of communication. And what was really important about the omnichannel contact center that we selected was that it was omnichannel, that you could communicate through various different channels in order to achieve the same result. But we didn't want to create some sort of new app for them to download. We didn't want to do some other change the way that the pre-existing channels of communication. We wanted to utilize them. So now we have our AI or conversational AI acting on not only the voice call side of things, but we can do it through WhatsApp, we can do it through SMS, and we can do it through Facebook Messenger as well.
Very, very powerful to be able to utilize, because that's always been a challenge, I think, when it comes to technology, is that new providers, innovators want to create their own app, their own platform. And the problem is that we're, as you say, many of us, I mean, I have a team that manages my lettings, so I don't do it personally, but they, and actually I always say, do not use WhatsApp with tenants, because it can become overwhelming. I certainly would never WhatsApp a tenant, and I have a separate phone anyway if I do need to use it for work. But I think that, you know, if you're trying to create an app that's going to supersede something like WhatsApp, you've got a big job ahead of you, because most people are very, very familiar with WhatsApp and use it every single day. And it's overtaken text messaging, and it's much more, I think, much more flexible, for example, than Facebook Messenger. For me, it's probably my preferred method of communication in many, many different spheres, because it's fast, it's efficient, it's very flexible. It doesn't do everything, but it's a very, very good tool. And I think trying to supersede that, you're kind of, you're very unlikely to achieve it. So I really love that idea that your tool, that Nevo, uses the existing channels of communication. That's very powerful.
Yeah, and you know, at our heart, and what we were trying to achieve is make property managers' lives, HMO managers specifically, easier, right? If we are trying to get tenants to download new apps and then, you know, trying to maintain those apps to keep, it's a quagmire. Let's use the existing tech that's available. Let's try and leverage the existing channels that tenants are used to and make sure. But the only difference is that we're at the other end. We're creating that buffer between you and the tenant. So instead of your team or instead of your team being available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you know, it's someone they can kind of work from 9 to 5 and then Nevo can take over in the out of hours sections. And that's the idea. That's the idea that we wanted to kind of implement, just that this choice. You can have your permanent staff. You can do it yourself and during the hours that you're happy with. But out of hours and on the weekends, when you want to have a holiday, when it is Christmas, when it is New Year's Eve, you know, you can switch on and you can have someone pick up the slack on your behalf without you worrying. Because that's the main thing, right? It's not even that we get communications. It's the worry that no one's around to pick them up. You know, if something does happen, these are huge assets that we've invested in, right? These are a lot of money that we've put aside, put into developing them, and they're there for our future and potentially our children. And we do care that if they burn down or something like that, not only for tenant safety, but it's because we have a financial interest in keeping them maintained. So we want to know when things are going wrong. But what we don't want to be on the horn for is for every single query that comes through day and night, 7 days a week. That stuff we can create a buffer for, and we can escalate that on a Monday or Tuesday when it's a more appropriate time. And that's not to say, it's not to say tenants are wrong to call or text whenever they want. That's just the way life is now. You know, as soon as something goes wrong or something that they're not something unhappy with something, they'll just fire off a text and that'll be it. But what they don't think about is the kind of mental health strain that creates for a property manager who does want to be proactive and they do want to be available to their tenants. But it can cause, you know, this constant problem of being available and being on call, and it can drill into your, and if you've been doing it for as long as I have, you know, 10 years, but even if you've been doing it for 5 years, it just creates this I'm not sure how to describe it, but you start becoming anxious about looking at your phone. You know, if you get the messages through, you start worrying that, oh gosh, I've got another thing to deal with. And it's a real mental health problem that's kind of, I think, is growing amongst HMO managers who haven't got the systems like you have in place or can't necessarily afford them, you know. So I'm really passionate about solving this problem for people like me who don't necessarily have the who haven't necessarily got the funds to put someone in permanent in place to solve that or triage those calls on their behalf.
And what is the process if somebody was interested in either finding out more about the system or having a trial? Is there an opportunity for them to sort of trial it out, or what do you offer in that regard, Neil?
The first tool that we've got available to HMO landlords is our tenant finder tool. So just as we discussed previously, we wanted to shrink that whole tenant find process down from this knitting ball of communications of phone tag and missed calls and getting back to one another and arranging times and qualifying applicants. We wanted to reduce that whole process down from 4 or 5 days to 30 seconds. You know, so a tenant acquires, they get an instant response, they have their queries answered, they get qualified, and then they book themselves into a viewing. Then we wanted to simplify that process. So that's what we have on offer today. Now we have that's based on our technology, our AI and our cloud contact center. But in the very near future, we hope to be developing what we've discussed on a wider basis, that call handling solution for HMO operators. That tech exists, and we want to make sure that it's available to every HMO manager at an affordable rate, because I think it's super important that there is some backup for us. It is really bad for tenants if the only people that have access to this grade of technology are institutions. You know, there must be technology available for mom and pop operators and cottage operators like me to desperately want to provide a good service to tenants and desperately want to do it, but just don't have the technology or the tools available to make that happen. And it's something that's going to be really, really be detrimental to the buy-to-let sector if we kind of cast or push these smaller operators out of business because they can't afford the tools that the big boys can have. And that's what I'm hoping to change. These micro operator tools that are available to small operators who are doing a desperately good job. You know, we get a bad rap, Wendy. We've got the government against us with the HMO tax, council tax group. You know, we've got various issues going on that just seem to be aimed at small landlords, and even prop tech. The vast majority of prop tech is aimed at these huge build-to-rent operators. But what we want to do is provide tech that's available to us everyday people at an affordable rate.
Which is an absolute great vision, and I absolutely love it. So if somebody's interested in pursuing this further, the first product you have out is the Tenant Find product. So yeah, they could start by contacting you. I'll put your contact details on the podcast notes so that if people are interested, they can contact you directly or contact you via the website, and then you'll be able to give them a pricing model and suggest a way to actually implement that tool. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's super simple. I mean, all you do is log onto the website, you upload your ad, we syndicate it out to Facebook Messenger, Gumtree, Spare Room, Zoopla, Open Rent, Rightmove ourselves on your behalf. We get as many eyeballs on that advert as possible, and then we triage it. It's very simple. It's £45 an ad, pretty much in the same ballpark as Open Rent and Spare Room combined, and then we deal with everything on your behalf and just book all the viewings in. It's the process of uploading an advert is pretty much the same as uploading an ad on Spare Room or Gumtree. It's just that we just syndicate it out with one click on your behalf.
How do you organise the viewings?
Yeah, the viewings themselves, what we try to do is get the operator, like yourself, to give us pre-selected time, pre-selected viewing slots that you're available. Typically, when I do viewing slots, I like to do group viewings. I like to have everybody turn up at the same time, and I can just drive in, do the viewings, because I like to meet my tenants before I rent rooms. I like to meet them, show them around, and then they can go, and I have maybe 5-6 people to kind of lined up. Other people have different ways of doing things. Some people like having 15-minute booking slots, and people kind of stagger their arrival. So there are a whole different way. There are a whole number of ways that operators kind of handle the viewing situations, and we've had to cancel in our testing of this. We've had to kind of accommodate for a lot of different ways of doing things. Mm-hmm. So some people like group viewing, some people like individual rooms. Some people only want two people to turn up at a viewing. Some people are happy with 150 people turning up. You know, so the idea is that you can go onto our platform, put up the advert, and then select the times that you want to do it. Select whether you want a group viewing or an individual viewing. Select how many people in the group viewing that you want to turn up to. And it's very easy to do through the interface. And then that's it. You set your screening questions, the type of tenant that you particularly want. And then we do all the hard work for you, triage it, qualify them to your standards. We make sure that they're of a certain income level, so you don't have people turning up that can't necessarily afford the room. And we book them into a viewing when you've selected when you're available. And then we remind them that they've got to come. And all you have to do is turn up at the property at the time that you said you would and open the door. That's it. So that's the idea. The idea is to just make it as simple as possible.
Well, it sounds like it could be a game changer for a lot of people. And I love the passion that you show behind this, Neil, which is to really help those property managers who are managing maybe just a handful of HMOs to become more efficient and to also just have the headache of that constant interaction with tenants reduced so that they can do other things and build their business to be successful rather than, as you say, dealing with, you know, somebody's taken my pink sock out of the washing machine, could you please tell them to put it back type of messages. Exactly. So you also are an administrator on Facebook's biggest HMO Group, which is the HMO Group, nicely titled, which was set up by Ash Zubery, probably 10 years ago now, I would imagine. It's been going for quite some time. So you're also you're a key role in that particular group, when I've seen you add lots of contributions and valuable discussion, which is really helpful. But the other reason why our paths, of course, crossed last year was when we bumped into each other at the Property Investment Show, and I was speaking with Darren about HMOs and council tax, and we had a conversation after that panel debate where you introduced yourself and Darren and I were chatting to you, and as a result you came on board our committee, which has been great, Neil, to have you on board there. I think you bring a wealth of experience and input, and it's been really, really helpful for, I think, the whole committee to have somebody with your background and skills and talents on that committee. We had a committee meeting this morning, early doors, Friday, every fortnight. That's when we meet as a committee to push things forward. Give me your take on how you feel that the campaign is progressing, and you know what you think is the likelihood of us winning our campaign in 2023.
Well, the council, the HMO and council tax group has a wealth of talent. I mean, I'm probably the least useful person on the committee. Between yourself and Darren, you guys have done a phenomenal job, a better job than I think anybody would have expected someone who or expected a group with that started last year to achieve. I mean, to have an amendment put through Parliament to address this issue is a phenomenal achievement. It's unbelievable. I'm absolutely stoked. The idea that this is even happening, because I've been rebranded. I know the pain of that, and a lot of HMO managers out there have gone through this, right? And it's horrifically unfair. Right? It's horrible to go through, to know that your expenses are increasing X percent, and that really your only option is to pass it on to the tenant, and it destroys that relationship that you've built with your clients and with your tenants. So what you're doing, first of all, is phenomenal in terms of success rate. I think this is going all the way, without a shadow of a doubt. You know, you look at yours and you look at Darren's passion about achieving this. I mean, it's just phenomenal. Honestly, it's beyond words that how much progress has been made since, not even before I was involved, but just in the last couple of weeks, you know, like the amendment getting approved, Caroline Dynage standing up in Parliament and mentioning Darren's name. I mean, these are really great. These are things that has never happened to HMO operators, that we typically are these kind of. And this kind of this is why I joined the HMO group, the Ash Run as well, and why I wanted to join the council tax group, and why I developed Nevo, is because we really need more representation. We need more tools to achieve great things, right? We need people. We need to group together to get access to the best tech, to get access to good communication, so we can have our issues brought to the forefront on a legislative issue. Because I hope once we've achieved this in terms of this council tax rebranding and the levelling up bill, let's go after Section 21. You know, let's go after all the other issues that are very specific to HMO operators, that I think this group and that the council tax group have built an enormous a great base in order to achieve great things. I'm super excited about it. I think it's amazing. I love coming to the meetings every other Friday morning, and I love being part of the WhatsApp groups and seeing how much is, and just the speed of progress just gets you up in the morning. You know, it's amazing. I'm really stoked to be a part of it.
Well, Neil, wow, that's amazing. I thought you were going to say, oh, those meetings are so boring and long. Oh, dear. I never thought I'd sit on a committee. I thought that's why I left work, so that I didn't have to be part of corporate culture again. But of course, we're very different from corporate culture, as I know you will no doubt agree. Well, I also have to say that, you know, obviously we're sort of slapping each other on the back here a little bit, but, you know, you've been incredibly helpful because your background in political lobbying has been very, very useful for us to draw on your experience of that in this particular realm, because I have worked in local government before many eons ago. I don't think Darren has ever actually had a proper job. I think he's only ever worked in property, and he's obviously very, very experienced and very knowledgeable about property. But the way that government works and the way that we have to, you know, we've had to lobby government to get to this point, we've all had to learn about it. And in fact, it's probably been Alan who's been our barrister who's had the more in-depth insight to the environment that we're addressing to be able to advise us and guide us, and of course he's the one who has written the amendment that is, we're very, very hopeful, it's going to be written into law later this year. It's still not certain. You know, we've still got a few hoops to jump through before that happens. And of course, we're about to hear a bit more from the department about the consultation that's going to be released fairly soon. And as you know, we were discussing that draft paper this morning. So I think there's still a bit more work to be done. We've got to still keep the momentum going. And I think we've got to still keep educating people and letting them know what's happening. And as you know, we run a series of webinars every month. We've got one webinar a month that we run to update people and inform them, so that's good. And but I'm just very, very grateful that we've got somebody like you who's proactive on another, well, the largest HMO group. And I know that Ash is supportive. You know, I know Ash personally, and he's a great support on these kind of if you like, issues. And I would agree with you that the one of the big problems we have is that many organizations that represent landlords, like for example the NRLA, that have actually been very supportive of us, tend to really base their views and their lobbying around single buy-to-let landlords, because that is the majority of their landlord grouping. Those landlords have a handful of single buy-to-lets. They are not HMO landlords. So we, as a group, don't actually have anybody who really represents just the HMO landlord. So yeah, I think we'll have to see what happens once we've got this one through and it's written into legislation. What do we do next? We'll have to rename ourselves, if nothing else.
Well, I think we call it the Wendy and Darren show, number one. No, it is what you guys have done is phenomenal. I am I'm absolutely stoked to see it go through. And it's only going to be up from here. I can see so many things, and you're actually spang on. HMO landlords, about 500,000 HMOs in the UK. And if you can imagine six people within each, and that's registered, so six people is a minimum within each. It's a hell of a lot of tenants that we represent. And, you know, we shouldn't be kind of relegated to kind of an afterthought. And what you and Darren are doing is actually saying, look, we need our own representation. That's what my conversation with Ash has been about. It's right, we need to be able to pull together as a community. And if you go on our Facebook groups respectively, you'll see how much support there is for HMO, or between HMO operators. It's not like an ordinary buy-to-let where you kind of just like, oh, you know, I'll dip in once in a while and kind of pay attention when it's relevant. We are actually, most of us are in it, our operators, on a daily basis. So we're in it, and we seek each other out, and we seek each other support. We network with one another, and we want to build a community amongst one another. And having you guys at the forefront, kind of communicating our issues at a legislative level, I think it's going to be really good for every HMO operator. So when that consultation goes live, you know, we're going to get it out to everybody. We're going to make sure that we really galvanize our community with kind of getting this over the line, and then onto the next thing. I think we've started the ball rolling. I'm just really happy to be a part of it.
Great. Well, Neil, we're delighted, of course, to have you on board, and also delighted about your innovation and entrepreneurial spirit that lives through you. And Nevo Living is one example of that. And, you know, I'd love to know how you get on with Nevo Living. I'm very, very happy, of course, to promote it. We'll, as I say, we'll put the details in the podcast notes. So if anybody wants to contact you or come on board, they'll have the information there. They can look on your website, which is a lovely website, by the way. I went on it this morning and really, really like it. I think it's very, very good indeed. It's very innovative and very, very exciting. And I think what speaking to you makes me think is that HMOs will always be here. Actually, what we've got to do is innovate, change, move forward, whether it's more of a shared living kind of concept, you know, that many people are kind of developing, whether it's tech that helps us, whether it's design, interior design, that there's always evolution in the HMO market. And that's why it's actually a very interesting industry to be part of, because there's constant change that's going on. So you cannot just sit on your laurels and do what you were doing 10 years ago. Well, you can, but you'll probably find that you will very quickly be either left out of the market or you won't be able to fill your rooms. And I think that's why it's an exciting industry to be in, because we're providing accommodation for people whose needs are always changing, whose background and life experiences are very different, and yet we ourselves as an industry are evolving and changing and responding, and that's why it's actually a great thing to be involved in.
It is, and the community is great, Wendy. You know, everybody, you know, you speak to people in the HMO council tax group, you speak to people in the HMO group, you speak to landlords on or HMO landlords on LinkedIn or wherever. Networking events, everybody is super keen. You know, every operator I spoke to is entrepreneurial. They're trying to, you know, work out how to better the experience of their tenants, you know, the experience they give to their tenants. Everybody wants to improve in our community. Everyone wants to go forward. You know, no one's kind of just like, oh, you know what, I can't really be bothered or whatever. You know, so whatever. You know, people really, really are keen in our little segment of the buy-to-let market. And just I find it every time I speak to someone or I'm in a conversation on these groups, or we've struck up some sort of long post on the HMO group, I'm just in awe and inspired by how many people contribute, take the time out of their day to help other people that are going through the same thing in a different part of the country. You know, it's just, I think the community itself is what inspires me in terms of just people. The landlords want to provide a great service to their tenants, and they want to help other landlords and have other landlords do the same thing. And I think what you're doing with the ultimate the success system as well, all these people are kind of contributing to the advancement of the industry. And I love it. I think it's great. And it's a great part, a great industry to be part of.
Well, Neil, your enthusiasm spreads far and wide. I'm very, very grateful to have you on today's podcast. Absolutely great to hear from you, to find out the other fingers that the other pies that your fingers are in. Always very excited to hear about that. And we will of course update the listeners as time goes on the HMO Council Tax Reform Group wins, which I hope there will be many of this year. But in the meantime, Neil Chadder, thank you very much indeed for being a guest today on the Ultimate HMO Success System podcast. It's been great to have you on, and I hope you have a great day.
Bye, Wendy. Thanks very much for having me.
Thank you. Cheers. Thanks very much. Thank you for listening to the HMO Success podcast. If you'd like to know more about how you can create a profitable HMO business, please visit our website, hmosuccess.co.uk, to find out more. We have plenty of free tools and information for you there, and also on our Facebook group, The Ultimate HMO Success System. We look forward to connecting with you very soon. Thanks for listening.